I was surprised at first
to be asked to speak to an audience of medics about the Grenfell Tower fire. To recap, for those unfamiliar with the events of June 14th, 2017, at 5 to 1 in the morning, a small fridge fire broke out in a kitchen on the fourth floor of the tower. It was an unremarkable incident, the kind which happens every day in a busy city. The resident of the flat was woken by a smoke alarm, warned his neighbours, and swiftly phoned the fire service, who arrived promptly. But by the time they had made it to the kitchen and extinguished the original blaze, it was too late. The walls of Grenfell Tower had been fitted with cladding panels filled with a plastic that had the same chemical composition as petrol. It burned like it too. Fire spread out of the kitchen window, ignited these panels, and ripped up to the roof and ultimately all around the building. Inside, as residents fled, their defective fire doors did not close behind them, meaning lobbies and a single stairwell, which was the only way out of the tower, rapidly filled with choking black smoke. It would later emerge that this floor had been discovered by fire inspectors before the fire, but the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea, which was the building's landlord, had ignored a deficiency notice, ignoring them to fix it. And so, the residents who remained in the tower opened their front doors to be confronted with this dense, irritant black smoke. They closed their doors again, phoned the fire brigade, and were told to stay put. Many of them listened, and by the morning, 72 were either dead or dying. The cladding, it would later emerge, was in use on more than 450 other tall buildings around England, a result of loose regulations which have failed to ban it, and companies which had sold it despite knowing its dangers. So what relevance, I wondered, did a story of failed building regulations, dangerous construction products, and negligent housing management have for this audience? But I suppose my thinking was too linear, because the failures that gave us the Grenfell Tower fire are general as well as specific. The fire may have been a result of combustible cladding, broken fire door self-closers, and a failed evacuation strategy. But these things came from ways of thinking and ways of behaving which exist and do harm well outside the housing and construction sectors. Here are just some of those examples. The Grenfell Tower fire came about because of a devotion to the status quo, because the people responsible for safety would not allow themselves to imagine events outside of their limited prior experience. Instead of asking how to evacuate a tower block if a fire got out of control, those responsible for safety simply insisted it could never happen. When they saw evidence of other fires around the world where it did, they said it could never happen here. Even though knowledge of the risk of cladding fires was held at a senior level among fire services and government officials, even though they exchanged emails about them and presented PowerPoints on them to conferences, they never allowed themselves to consider what would happen if it actually did happen here. Instead, they comforted themselves with statistics which showed the efficiency of the stay put advice, not applying any critical thought to the limits of those numbers. They surrounded themselves with experts who reinforced their view, sidelining those who questioned it. Why? Because stay put was convenient. Convenient to a construction sector which saved money on fire alarms and second staircases. Convenient to a housing sector which never had to worry about organising fire drills or maintaining escape routes. Convenient to a fire service which never had to turn its mind to the problem of not just how to put fires out, but to how to get all the residents of a building out alive. And convenient to the government, who could continue to pursue social housing policies which placed disabled residents on the upper floors of high-rise buildings and never troubled itself to how they would escape safely during an emergency. So here is our first lesson. It is better to ask the inconvenient questions about low probability events before they happen, instead of crossing your fingers and hoping that you'll keep getting lucky. Grenfell happened because the people who should have upheld the standards were conflicted. The companies which signed off high-rise buildings as safe did not want to upset what they called their builder customers by rejecting the use of popular but combustible forms of insulation. The companies which tested these products did not want to disrupt their major client base by making their tests too difficult to repass or revealing to the market the amount of times that they had failed. The government officials who set the rules were afraid of the economic consequences of banning certain products, afraid of being judicially reviewed by the manufacturers of them, and afraid of telling the ministers who had spent 30 years telling them to reduce red tape that we needed higher standards to maintain safety. All of these conflicts were put above the basic reason for all of these organizations existing: to keep people safe. And Grenfell also happened because people in the public sector were overworked and underfunded. From the building control officer with more than 100 projects under his observation at once, to the health and safety managers at the council with a list of thousands of overdue high priority actions from fire risk assessments and no budget to start fixing them. From the government officials who work nights and weekends with no resource to hire new staff or even bring in external expertise to the fire safety and prevention officers in fire authorities who took the brunt of government cuts as the front line was protected. If public sector organisations are constantly defunded, devalued and told to do more with less, their cultures will sour. People who come to work bitter and tired become, in the end, concerned only with shoveling through the latest pile in front of them. And that is what happened here. And Grenfell also happened because some people acted in complete disregard of the basic standards of morality and compassion, which we expect of each other in a civilized society. Consider insulation manufacturer Kingspan's marketing team brushing off questions about safety by writing that a firm questioning whether their combustible plastic was suitable for high rises was getting me confused with someone who gives a damn and could go fuck themselves, and if they're not careful, we will sue the arse off them. Consider another member of the team who described their fire tests and marketing as a big cheat, writing internally that all we do is lie in here. Consider Arconic, the manufacturer of the violently combustible cladding panels, which sat on tests demonstrating the terrible danger of the product from as early as 2004, because it was so desperate to maintain the commercial advantage which came from selling a cheaper product to its competitors. During this time, internal emails discussing the risk said, "We are not clean," and advised that the fire risk associated with the product should be kept, in all capitals, very confidential. A further document even speculated about the regulatory consequences for the firm should a fire involving their product kill 70 to 80 people. That last note was made in 2007, a decade before the 72 were killed at Grenfell Tower. These are some of the most shocking examples of the thousands and thousands of emails that have been disclosed at the Grenfell Tower inquiry. But they are just the tip of a very large and very ugly iceberg. The lesson? Remember that your own moral duties still exist, even if you work for an organization that does not share them. And remember that not everyone you come across in your professional life will do the same. Grenfell also happened because the lives of those with disabilities were treated as less valuable. The fire killed 17 disabled residents, 40% of the disabled population of the tower that was present on that night. This means that disabled people were about twice as likely to die in the fire as an able-bodied resident. And had everyone in the tower been disabled, the death count would have doubled. This is not a coincidence. Not only had social housing providers for years forced disabled residents to accept inappropriate housing on higher floors, successive governments had specifically rejected the idea that they should be given personal emergency evacuation plans to give them a way out, as they would have in an office or other workplace. There was no data held about which of the residents of Grenfell had a disability, where they lived, and how to rescue them if they needed to be rescued. This meant many of them simply never had a chance of getting down the smoke-filled stairs before they were overcome. But arguably even more shockingly, last year the Home Office rejected the Grenfell Tower Inquiry's recommendation that the policy of personal emergency evacuation plans be adopted for residents in high-rise buildings, calling it disproportionate and going so far as to warn that attempting to evacuate disabled residents during an incident like Grenfell could slow the escape of the able-bodied. This is not how a properly functioning society should treat its fellow citizens, but is sadly indicative of an attitude towards people with disabilities that spreads far beyond the question of high-rise fire safety. I've been through today just some of the lessons from the Grenfell Tower fire. There are more. But the question for us as individuals is what we should do with them. I wrote at the end of the inquiry that is open to anyone who worked in the myriad industries that gave us Grenfell Tower to resolve to be better. The truth is that invitation extends to many other professions as well, and I'm sure that medicine is no exception. The evidence about the road to Grenfell calls, in my mind, for us all to be more honest, less cynical, more willing to admit fault, more compassionate, more able to see that the way we've done things in the past does not have to be the way we will do things in the future, and more alive to the fact that there are human beings at the sharpest end of any of our systemic failings. In delivering some hard truths about how this disaster in West London happened, this evidence has given us a chance to change. We should take it and leave the world which gave us Grenfell behind. Thank you.